Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
This is At Home Connecticut, hosted by Joey Burgoyne, highlighting events and happenings that are taking place in your home, Connecticut, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of At Home in Connecticut. I'm your host, Joey Burgoyne. It's the 20th anniversary weekend of September 11th, the tragedy that unfolded that day on United States soil. And earlier this week, Brian Shackman, Ray Dunaway's co-host, talked with Governor John Rowland, and they got into some pretty interesting stuff. John talked about that day, what it meant for him, and I thought it would just be interesting and meaningful to replay that, because John talks about, you know, where we are as a country and what we need to do to kind of become better again. What we were those days leading up to and after 9/11 were drastically different. America came together. And there's some great words in this. And right off the bat, John gets in some pretty heavy stuff talking about what he was doing with families and first responders the day of and day after 9/11. So take it away.
It was probably one of the most emotional times of my entire life. We all knew where we were when 9/11 occurred and kind of what was happening in our life. And in our case, you know, being so close to New York, the first thought I had was, we're going to have a lot of people coming back from New York into Connecticut,
right,
and we're going to have a lot of impacted families. I think the number is 161. So those early days, people didn't realize there was so much uncertainty. You know, did my loved one live? Is he in the hospital? Could she be, you know, under some bridge somewhere? So all those feelings went on. So the first thing we did, frankly, was I sent a trooper, ambulances, and mental health professionals that first day down to every train stop, because I thought, you know what, these people are going to jump on their trains and go home. What kind of condition are they in? And so we met thousands and thousands of Connecticut residents that were returning after that terrible morning. But so then I started to make some calls, and I said, you know, maybe I should reach out to the family members. And long story short, as it evolved, I found that people were still searching. Some people had found finality. I had a trooper sitting with me, so we actually drove family members down to Ground Zero to try to help them get information on their loved ones. It was a little bit crazy in those first few days. So then I kept calling because people wanted to talk. So I had literally sat down every night and called as many people as I possibly could. And
do you look at the list and you're like, you have to take a deep breath and reset after every single one? I mean, I can't imagine, you know, the intensity of every single one.
Matter of fact, I would literally go home at night and cry, and I couldn't sleep for literally the whole week. But what I also had a mental health professional sitting with me, because I said to this person, I said, I don't know what to say. I don't want to say the wrong thing. And so she coached me. She said, well, you know, don't say, I know how you feel, you know. And she said, she coached me, just listen, she said. And all these calls and frankly developed a lot of relationships with these families over the years. The one that was the most stark to me was I was talking to a wife in Stamford. And she was very calm, and she said, you know, I was one of the lucky ones. And she had lost her husband in one of the towers. And And I said, of course, I said, well, why? She said, well, I got to say goodbye to my husband. And she went on to describe that she was on the phone with her husband literally for 15 or 20 minutes as the towers were burning, recounting their high school friendship and their eventual marriage and kids and family. And she went on and on and on. And then she told me the phone went dead and she looked on the television and saw the tower go down. And I've got to tell you, that shook me to the core, that she was so faithful and so strong. But what all these family members went through during those early days and weeks was really incredible. And the volunteers and, you know, I heard a little bit of what Diane was saying, the kindness and the true love and the grace and the faith that came upon people all across the country, not just in our neck of the woods, was really incredible. And you know, it's just if we could have just a little slice of that back today, we'd be a much better country.
I agree. Well said. John Rowland joining us here on the morning show with Ray and Brian. Ray is off this week. Brian Shackman here with you. You know, when I think about, let's take a pause from the emotion for a second, because I find myself clenching and I wasn't even there or part of it. From a leadership perspective, like, were you in touch with the president? Like, I mean, obviously as an adjoining state, Connecticut and New Jersey were so, you know, enmeshed with this whole event. Sure. You know, talk about like the progression of like just as a leader, how this was handled.
Sure. Well, your first thought is, you know, what are we vulnerable here in Connecticut? And my first thought was, oh my goodness, we have the sub base here and we have Millstone power plant. So we froze the airspace around there immediately. That was kind of our first step. I, of course, contacted Mayor Giuliani. I was in constant contact with Governor Pataki. I was down at Ground Zero when President Bush, you know, jumped up on that mound with the firefighters with the megaphone. I was standing there when he said, you know, we heard from you, and now you're going to hear from us. We had state police. We had the National Guard folks. We had our dogs down there. People wonder why we use Sherwood Island and Westport now as the memorial. That was our staging area. We had equipment, and one of the most incredible visuals to me was that day, which was, I think, 2 days after 9/11 that we were down there. And I looked around, and I saw trucks from Connecticut. I saw O&G trucks, and I saw cranes and all kinds of equipment. Connecticut contractors went down, in hundreds of them probably, to volunteer to try to help with the rubble and help with the search and rescue. The most chilling moment was when I left that day and we were going at the exit area and there were thousands of people lined up on the streets with American flags, and they were handing out water to the other volunteers, and they were sitting there just applauding the firemen and the policemen and the first responders that were leaving the site. It was breathtaking, and it was a real moment. So obviously here we are 20 years later. And if we do anything today or tomorrow or this weekend, I hope we kind of all step back and say, you know what? Let's reach back and see if we can grab a little bit of that grace and a little bit of that love that we saw. I mean, people truly were as patriotic and as raw as we could possibly be. And now we're calloused. And it's a shame. And maybe this is a great, you know, learning moment for all of us in this country.
You would hope so. You know, what's fascinating about you, Governor Rowland, is that you were a governor, a congressman. You did a bunch of stuff, and then you were also in the media, right? You sat in this my chair, and so, yeah. You know, it's not that I'm looking for advice, but I'm just curious, like how, you know, and as a Republican, you are a Republican. If you were in a position of sort of dealing with the way our culture is right now, as a member of the media with the megaphone you would have, like, how do you think you'd be handling it? I mean, because a lot of people in the chair, they're doubling down on the vitriol because it's good for ratings.
Right. Yeah, I mean, first of all, the country's divided blue and red. I mean, no question. And it does take leadership. I'm really disappointed in the White House because I thought President Biden, who I know from back in the day when I was in Congress, he's fueling that, and that's a shame. But, you know, again, it, right to your point, it plays to the ratings, it plays to the political maneuvering. You know, I'm a great golden rule guy. If we can all step back, and whether we're on the radio, whether we're in politics, and just observe the golden rule and just, you know, treat people like you want to be treated. Although I was a Republican, I have extraordinary relations with the other side of the aisle. I mean, I play golf and hang out and have dinner with Democrats and leaders that I served with today, 20 years later. And so though it's about personal relationships, respect, and I just don't think that we're respecting each other, the civility. And so I think it's a long time to come, frankly, because I think we're going to get worse before we get better. But we have to get back to some civility. I think our faith leaders have to get engaged. I think they've got to step up. You see the Franklin Grahams of the world stepping in.
Right.
That, I think, they can be healers, but we need healers because right now we're in a spiral. We're in a death spiral for our country. And the next generation, two generations, are just watching. And they're like, okay. This is how society's supposed to be. This is how we're supposed to act. And don't forget, I mean, my son served in the military right after 9/11. He did a tour in Iraq. He was in Marine Recon. You know, the kids that are 30 and 40 years old, I mean, they barely remember 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And all they remember is what they're seeing now. So, again, I think it's hard to look past the ratings, the elections, and the partisanship. I was blessed because the 10 years that I was in office, I was working with the other side of the aisle. We did budgets on the back of an envelope. We enjoyed each other's company. We, you know, did a lot of crazy things. We tried to get, I see a picture, we tried to get the Patriots to come to Connecticut.
Yeah.
We fixed up UConn. So we had a lot of great things going on. So, again, sometimes in life you have to bottom out before it gets better. I think that's where we're going. It's going to have to get bad. Maybe it's going to be another terrorist attack. I mean, what we have pending in Afghanistan is volatile at best, and it's scary. And we better be ready for what happens next.
And again, that was John Rowland earlier this week with Brian Shackman on our 9/11 show that happened Friday morning. And there's some words in there that I hope you just, you know, pick apart, pay attention to, listen. You know, we will never forget. And I hope we return as a country to what we were days after 9/11, a solidarity, a uniformity, and an understanding of civility. I hope those days return, because remember, great things happen at home in Connecticut.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC News Talk 1080.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.